D-Mace, Vink, and Dendonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Sportsnet, NHL insider Elliot Freeman, presented by Old National Bank. Elliot, I know that you are at the Four Nations Face-Off Tournament. The league could not have scripted a better game for the opener of this tournament. Canada defeating Sweden in overtime. It looked like Canada was going to run Sweden out of the rink in the first period, but the Swedes battled back. Exhilarating overtime. What was your top takeaway from last night's game, Canada and Sweden?
Crosby is still the best, man. Crosby is still the best. And watching him and MacKinnon together here is going to do nothing to stop the people wanting to see those two play together, whether it's in Colorado or anywhere else. They're doing their interviews together. They were at the podium last night together. They were at practice this morning working on things together. If anybody thought this tournament was going to stop the Crosby and MacKinnon need to play together talk, it's going to continue. Great night here, and you're right, Adam. They couldn't have scripted it any better.
I just want to take a moment to share with everybody how unfair the Canadians' first goal of the game was. It was a power play goal scored by Nathan MacKinnon, assisted by Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid. I just want to point that out for everybody.
And it was as beautiful as you could imagine those three putting something together like that.
So
it was that happened right below me. Our set is directly above that net, and you could see it coming. And you could feel like the fans here, like, you know what, Adam, the funny thing is, so we've been talking about the Canadian power play for the last 3 days and how lethal it should be. And they get one on the first shift of the game, and we're kind of laughing, like, watch, they'll come out here, it'll probably be a disaster because they've been hyping it up. We've been hyping it up so much. And then it just unfolds. Like, you wouldn't even draw it up to look that good. And it was a really special night, and I'm in the rink right now. The USA and Finland have done their morning skates, and they're playing here tonight. And actually, matter of fact, they're just trying out the light show while I'm standing here, and it's red, white, and blue, so I know who this is for. And it's snowing here. We're getting some really bad snow. You always worry about, even in a great hockey city like Montreal, you always worry about, okay, it's not Canada. What's the crowd going to be like? I heard there's a lot of Americans who came up here, so I hope this is just as good a show tonight.
Speaking of the Americans, they kick off the tournament tonight against Finland at 7 o'clock Central at Bell Center. Elliot, there was a time where the idea that the United States could even match the level of talent that Canada had, there was a time where that was a completely far-fetched notion. But the Americans over time have crept up on Canada. I've read in many places that the Americans are considered the favorite in this tournament. When you think about the rise of USA hockey in general and how it's gotten to this point, you look at the talent on that team. What do you attribute that to?
I think that the game is in more places. Wayne Gretzky's trade from Edmonton to the Kings, how many teams exist because of that trade, Adam? You look at, and I'm 54, like I'm a big Michael Jordan guy. Like as great as LeBron James is, I will always be a Michael Jordan guy because that was my guy. And, we used to have debates like who was better, Gretzky or Jordan. There'd be other baseball players who you'd talk about here and there, but it was like whether it was Ken Griffey Jr. or whoever it was, but it always came down to Gretzky and Jordan. And the one argument the puckheads used to make is like half a league is there because of Gretzky. And so I think a lot of it was that, his arrival. I think a lot of teams, for example, the Dallas Stars, not only did they bring hockey to Texas, but they made sure they built a lot of rinks. I think the toughest thing to get people to play hockey is just how expensive it is. Like, you look at these, like, I can't tell you now how many parents say to me, I can't believe my kid wants a $300 stick. And that to me is the biggest barrier to more people playing hockey, is the cost of the sport, but there's no question the exposure to it has grown and the ability for people to at least go to games or see it has grown. And I think the more you see it, the more you want to try something. And we've definitely had that.
We talk with Elliot Freeman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Now, Elliot, you being there now, and obviously UC will be in net, I believe.
Yes,
what is the perception? What is the perception of UC throughout the league now, based upon what you are hearing? And will the or can the Four Nations tournament change that perception if it's turned toward the worse?
You know what, Derek? I always believe, and you played the game, you understand that. And this is that you can always rewrite your narrative. Mm-hmm. No matter how badly your season is going, all it takes is one big game to change it, and particularly when the stakes raise. Like in the NFL, you can have a terrible regular season as an individual, but if the playoffs start and you have a big playoffs, everybody forgets how bad your regular season was. And I think, you know, like, I don't think Saros, like, at the beginning of the year, I thought Saros was really good, even though the Predators were struggling. And eventually, he just kind of got dragged down. And it's, like, some of the talk around Team Finland here, Derek, is that this is going to be perfect for him because I think he, like, one of the players was saying, like, they can kind of tell he's, like, in shock by how bad Nashville's season has been. And it's really worn on him. Look, he got a big contract. He deserved it, but he wants to earn it. And, you know, he wants to win. And I think that the one thing that this allows him to do, because, you know, Nashville's not going to make the playoffs. We all know that. So what's he playing for? Well, suddenly he's been given something really important to play for. You know, Derek, the Finns are the real underdogs of this tournament. Mm-hmm. They have been devastated by injuries, especially on the blue line. You know, like I was saying to a couple of the players that some of us feel kind of sorry for them because of the way their roster has been devastated. They're like, don't feel sorry for us. Like, that's ridiculous. But I think that, you know, a good performance here from Saros could really go a long way to building himself back up. But, you know, Derek, that's the sense I really got from a couple of players. Like, he's probably like a lot of players on the Predators. Mm-hmm. They're kind of in shock about, you know, just how this year has gone and it's really affected them.
It's a great point. Elliot, I was listening to your podcast and you had Michael Russo on there with you and Kyle talking about how UC Saros came across, that you could tell he had been a little bit beaten down by the lack of success. And, it, you know, he knows what his numbers, that the surface numbers, and we've argued about this here, right? People can jump all over him, say he's got a save percentage of under 900 and he's leading in the loss column and things like that. And if you look deeper, it's really as much of a reflection not only of his, he hasn't played great, but certainly the team around him has really struggled. But I'm sure as he carries those numbers onto this big stage, he's getting asked about it a lot, and you can tell it has weighed on him.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, like, he's a pro, and you guys don't need me to tell you, and the hockey fans don't in Nashville don't need me to tell you. You guys know how much that guy cares and how much pride he's got. You know, he's a smaller goalie who's one of the league's best goalies at a position where there's prejudice against his size. But he's carved out his role. And that tells you how much he cares and how hard he competes. And I think this year has really been painful for him and a lot of the other Predators players. But that's what this really does. Like, you know, like, again, him and the Finns are going here as the real underdog. Like, there are guys, like, I'll tell you a story. So Jiri Lehtinen, who's the great Dallas Star player, who's the GM of this team, I saw him at an event in November. And at that time, Toronto had a Finnish defenseman, Jani Hakanpa, who wasn't playing. And he said to me, like, do you think he's going to play? And I said, they're telling me he's going to play. And he said, like, we only have 8 Finnish defensemen in the NHL right now. So if we start losing guys, we don't have anyone left. And so they got 2 injuries. So Hakanpa couldn't play. Haskinen, who's a big star in Dallas, he's out. And, you know, like, they're going to guys now who are, like, they're going to have guys in the lineup tonight who aren't full-time NHL players. And so, like, there's only one defenseman, Finnish defenseman, in the NHL who hasn't been on this roster at one point or another due to injuries. Like, that's how decimated they are. And, you know, like, if Saros has any kind of game and any kind of performance, I think it's going to do wonders for him.
It is going to be a big spotlight for sure. And speaking of that, Elliot, I've always tell people, when people ask me what's the best place to watch a game, I always say Montreal to me is the best. And I've never done a game in Montreal when Montreal has been a juggernaut. So I can't imagine what it's going to be like if, you know, at some point when they cycle back, if I'm lucky enough to still be doing this, when they cycle back into a run where they're really good for a number of years. But even when they've been kind of okay team, the atmosphere is so great in there. That was just...
It was great here last night.
Yeah, what a great thing for the league to be able to say, this is what we envisioned. What did we think we were going to see? But, it hit every note that you would want to hit. And then you had this 3-on-3, which was just absolutely out of the park.
Yeah, it was... And that's going to be a conversation here, guys. That's so they had 10. So the overtime here is 10-minute 3-on-3 followed by the shootout. And they're testing the goal siren here. It was 10-minute 3-on-3 followed by the shootout, and Marner scored the winner at 6:06. So we went past 5 minutes, which is what we normally deal with in the NHL season. And every player was getting asked about that last night and today. How would you feel about 10-minute 3-on-3? And like McKinnon was like, no, I was exhausted. And Laine was like, no, 5 minutes enough. Patrick Laine, but some other guys were like, yeah, I kind of liked it. And, you know, that's one thing. The GM meetings are in March, the general managers. And, you know, I was told this morning that because of what happened last night, and we'll see what happens for the rest of the tournament, this is going to be a conversation again. And maybe it's not 10, maybe it's 7, or maybe it's 8. But because of what happened in last night's game, we're gonna get a conversation about 3-on-3 overtime and making it longer. You know, I'll tell you this. So Saturday night is Canada-USA from here, and everybody is looking forward to that. So far, the NHL has kept it a secret as who's singing the national anthem here on Saturday night. So they're obviously very excited about whatever they're planning to see. They haven't told us yet.
Elliot, I thought another thing that stood out last night, you've got these two teams full of great players. But even with that, like D-Mace was texting me last night going, my God, McKinnon and, you know, McDavid, when they get going, they still can rise to a level where they're still standing out way above in terms of just pure talent. If you hadn't ever watched a hockey game before, you would still notice those two guys and say, my goodness, who are these two guys? Right, that was what was really stood out last night.
I agree. I agree with that. I thought McKinnon was phenomenal. I thought Crosby was incredible. I thought McDavid, even though every time he touched the puck, I thought he was in danger of doing something. I thought it was I'm one of those people who kind of pick the U.S. at the beginning of the tournament because I think top to bottom they're the best team, but Canada's elite talent, those guys are unreal, man. They are just a reminder of when you do this job, you get to see people who are so good at what they do, and I'll tell you something else. And I think, Derek, you would really appreciate this as much as anyone else. So McDavid and McKinnon, they went to the podium together after the game last night. They were done after midnight. And so today at the main rink, which is right downtown, only USA and Finland skated here because they're playing tonight. So Canada and Sweden, if they wanted to practice at all, they had to go to the Canadians' practice rink, which is about a 30-minute bus drive ride over a bridge, and there's a snowstorm here, and it was made into an optional, which means you don't have to take it. But two of the guys who were on the ice, one of the few players, were Crosby and McKinnon, and working on something they didn't like that happened last night during the game. Like, they were right on the ice, one of the only two of the only players to skate, two of the best players just working on something. And it tells you that not only is greatness talent, but greatness is embracing the grind. And I wasn't there this morning, but I saw the video and I was like, that's embracing the grind. That's why those two guys are great. Like, basically hours after they finished, they had every excuse not to practice. They had to hop onto a bus in a snowstorm and go out there, and they went out there. And I just think that's incredible. I really do.
Elliot, one more before we let you go. There are some notable trade targets playing in this tournament. Around here, we're focused on Gus Nyquist, but there are others. I think of Brock Nelson, Rickard Rakell. Of those players who could be moved at the deadline, which player could best help his cause, or I guess help his team's cause, in terms of increasing his value ahead of the deadline?
Well, that's a great question. I think I'll say this. Rantanen is playing tonight for Finland, and, you know, he's a great player. I think we're all kind of wondering how Carolina is going to approach it here. I think a lot of eyes are going to be on him. He was in shock after that deal, and he hasn't started great yet in Carolina. He missed their last game. I think everybody's going to be watching him tonight to see what he kind of does. I think Rakell is a great pick, Adam. Obviously he's still got some he's still got some time here to figure. He's still got some control over it. He can't be sent anywhere without his permission. But I thought he was really good last night, and to me, that really stands out as a tremendous pick. You know, I would also say, I'll go with Rantanen tonight. I think that's a really interesting one that's going to develop over the next couple of weeks. And if he has a big tournament here, I mean, I think a lot of people would be interested, but that's going to drive up the price if Carolina has to flip him.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, presented by Old National Bank. Elliot, great stuff. Enjoy the action tonight and the remainder of the tournament.
All right, go Saros. See you guys later.
Elliot Freeman joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. We'll react to Elliot. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.